Before we get into prospects and everything, you know, I can remember being at the draft there with you in Buffalo, and Henrik Bjorkstrom gets drafted by the Florida Panthers when everybody thought they were the ones that were hot and heavy for Alex DeBrincat, and that was going to be the fit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know he looked good at Denver, hasn't really worked out yet. How much of a wild card here is Henrik Bjorkstrom in this trade to Chicago?
Well, you know, it's amazing sometimes when you go back and you look at that and how much of a surprise pick that was at the time, and obviously not under this general manager with Phil Zito. But yep. Then you get into the situation where you get into NHL games 2 and 3 years, you get a number of games in one of those seasons, and you know, the player sitting there saying, hey, I'm a first-round pick. I should be given all that opportunity to go and play. And when it comes in fits and spurts, it becomes difficult to adjust. And the team's saying, well, hey, you're a first-round pick. You should be performing better than that, and we shouldn't have to take you out of the lineup. So I look at Borgstrom as being that guy that the change of scenery is probably a likely scenario that maybe either says, all right, you know, you're coming here with a clean slate. You're going to be given opportunity. Take the ball and run with it. And another guy that I think about as we move towards the trade deadline, who I think is of that very same ilk, would be Logan Brown of the Ottawa Senators, who has got games in each of the last 3 years, but never really able to sustain that spot in the lineup. So he'll be an interesting one to look at. But you look at these first-round guys, there's always people that think about, hey, even if they didn't have him in the first, probably somewhere early in the second, that say, you know what, I've watched him enough that there is something there. Let's just take a chance on the guy, and we'll see how it plays out.
Sam Cosentino with us. Before we get to your list, I want to spend a little bit of time here before I hand this over to Stewie and then Justin to talk about a phenomenal 15-year-old player with the Regina Pats, Connor Bedard, who we've seen highlights and clips all over Twitter and Instagram and whatever social media platform you have, highlight shows, Sportsnet, like all of it. A, how good is this guy, and has he already distinguished himself at 15 years of age as one of the best players in the Western League?
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. I think when you look at a guy who's been going back and forth with Dylan Gunther for the scoring lead, you have to be really excited. I mean, the Western Hockey League typically is not a place for 15-year-olds, period. They get their AP games in when their teams are out of the playoffs, but obviously this year it provided a much different circumstance. So they are getting a lot of opportunity. And I look at the 04s and the 05s that are in the Western Hockey League, and you're going to be really impressed here in the next two drafts by what they have to offer. But when it comes to Bedard, and you look at Hockey Canada, more players available to them for this year's under-18s than they've ever had before, because usually CHL teams are in the playoffs. So now he gets picked to play in that team. That tells me everything about what the Hockey Canada people are thinking about him. And so now I think he's fantastic. Now, we have to temper some of that enthusiasm just a little bit, because he's in a bubble situation. He doesn't have any of that long Western Hockey League travel that typically is experienced by players.
True.
He's getting the same sort of competition every night because there's only six other teams in that bubble. And so you're somewhat in a protected environment. And when I look at the league in general, they tend to play younger players. So the league is being played younger than it typically is. And so that also helps out. Those are three mitigating factors, but you can't take away from what he's done, including that four-point effort a couple of nights ago.
Going over the list, I've only seen one player from the OHL in the top 10, and I think four in the whole entire first round now. So do you think the lack of playing time this year is really going to affect the draft when it comes to players from the OHL? And could we see some guys actually fall out of the draft due to the lack of play?
Big time, Stu. It's really, really problematic. Now, some of the higher-end guys, the Brant Clarks, the Pinellis, the guys that are projected in the first round, Mason McTavish, they've had the opportunity to at least get a bit of time in overseas, but it's such a wonky situation to try and make a determination on what a player looks like, whether it's in a men's league, a second or third division, you know, in a country that's not typically known for its higher-end leagues. So it becomes challenging. Now, the under-18 is going to provide some of these guys a real good concentrated opportunity to get their name back out in front of scouts. But, Stu, you've watched a lot of guys either in your coaching career now in minor hockey or even back when you played, that sometimes it takes them a year or two. When you take that year away, especially in a draft year, and you've taken away essentially, you know, a couple of months from the year before, you're talking about losing basically a full year and a bit of developmental time, which is so key at that age. So there is no question that's going to have a significant impact on OHL players. I think your high-end guys, the guys that we're seeing projected to go in the first round, will still end up there, but maybe not as high as they might have been had they been able to play some semblance of a season.
Sammy, one of the things I've heard people say is, you know, maybe this is the year you don't care about giving up a top pick or a top draft pick, your first rounder, second rounder, because it's so hard to evaluate anyway. To me, that makes those picks more valuable because you have a better chance of getting someone farther down who maybe was worth more than where you get them. Do you think that a first round pick, you know, late first rounder or something, has more or less value this season given this, the weirdness in drafting and scouting?
My opinion is less value, Justin, and that's going to be a hugely debatable thing. And I know I've heard Jeff talk about having more darts to throw at the dartboard, and that theory has taken a little bit of a run. But my opinion is there's simply less certainty all the way around. And why is there less certainty? Because it just goes to prove, especially with all the teams that I've talked to, how important it is to get live and in-person viewings. You're watching a guy in a warm-up. You're watching a guy with his reaction to his teammates. You're watching how he responds to his coach. You're looking at body language, all things that are important in what you project that player to be down the road. You don't get that in video. You know that. You're a video guy. You just don't get that. And then you look at, let's say if we were able to add third assists as a stat. Well, oftentimes a play that develops that happens somewhere in the D zone that might not necessarily be in the frame of what your video offers, that player is responsible for the play. He would be given a third assist on that play if it were available to him, but you don't see that in video. What you see is, oh, okay, here's how this is one tic-tac pass back door. That's how it happened. Well, how did they get into the zone? How did they break out of their own zone? What play happened two plays before the two assists that are given? You just don't see a lot of that in video. So I think that there is less value to those first-round picks this year because there's less certainty on the type of player you're going to get. Having said that, I'd have no issue taking anyone in the top 10 that I currently have listed there from yesterday's list.
Is there anyone not from Michigan? We're with Sam Costantino. Anyone not from Michigan in your top 10, Sam? That's it's a run of the table by the Wolverines here.
Yeah, it sure is. So you have the three players. You have Owen Power, Matty Beniers, and Kent Johnson. And then you also have Luke Hughes, who's committed to go there. And then you look at the U.S. under-18 program with a guy like Chaz Lucius, Sasha Pastajava, who had 3 points in that BioSteel All-American game last night. So the state of Michigan doing a really good job. Of course, that's the home of where USA's under-18 and under-17 developmental program is based. But boy, Mel Pearson has got a wealth of riches when you talk about Thomas Bortolo, Brisson from last year, Brendan Brisson. Those three freshmen that were all outstanding this year, it's going to be fun to watch the University of Michigan if everyone sticks around here in the next couple of years.
So you mentioned all the scouting being done by video now. So I'm sure some players tend to be overhyped. So with Owen Power coming in next year, do you see him being, do you agree with the comparisons to Victor Hedman because of the size?
Whoa.
Well, it's pretty heady comparison. And what and last night I compared it a little bit to like Ty Myers, Daniel Chera, Victor Hedman, all tall defensemen who've all played for a long time. And so sometimes you have to take a little bit of away from the point production and look at a guy who's going to play big minutes for a long time for your club and try and balance those things out. But when I look at Owen Power, he just plays the game so easily. And I remember when Victor Hedman came into the league, no one really feared him. He wasn't an overly aggressive guy. He wasn't he wasn't the meanest guy. That part of his game developed once he came to the National Hockey League. And now everyone will tell you this guy's the most miserable guy to play against. Cross-checking the back, sticking the back of the legs, overpowering you in front of the net, board battles, all those sorts of things developed because he came into the league as such a young player. And I see Owen Power following that developmental path. And so I wouldn't necessarily say that he's on the same the same trajectory as where Hedman is. I mean, Hedman's top three in the league right now in defenseman, debatable top five. But I do think Owen Power, because of his size, because of his skating ability, because of his puck skills, all things that Hedman possessed when he came into the league, I think there's some similarities there for sure.
Sammy, do you think there's anyone that the lack of hockey and the lack of option, any of these junior kids, that it actually helped them? I ask this because I think of Mason Marchment when I was at the Toronto Marlies. He came there as a talented kid, but what they thought he needed was to get bigger. They thought he needed muscle mass and strength and skating help, and they put him through a lot of weight training and skills drills, and don't look now, but he's in the NHL. Is there anyone who would be best served by having some time away from the rink and bulking up and doing those sort of things?
Well, it's funny you say that, because sometimes you get the impression, and you have a book on what the players are doing in their 17-year-old season. You look at the under-17s, and you're thinking, all right, this guy's on a great trajectory here to move forward. But then you go and you come back, and in this draft year, he's just not quite the same guy, and you're trying to figure out, well, why hasn't he progressed? What happened here? So there isn't a name that comes to mind right off the top of my head where you'd say, he's probably better off, you know, not playing.
Yeah.
Because we have the great memories of what he was like as a 17-year-old. But there's right. No doubt there'll be players that definitely will fit that bill. For me right now, to be perfectly honest with you, that player doesn't come top of mind to me.
Sam, I want to close on a couple of things here. I want to ask you about the Ontario Hockey League, of course, as we all know, not playing, despite the fact that the Western League and the Quebec Major Junior League are. But I want to ask you, in your list, and you can find it at sportsnet.ca, projected Sam Cosentino's first round draft list. I look at it, and my favorite player that I look at, or maybe it's just because I've seen him so much going back to that, you know, playing on that Don Mills team with Shane Wright and Brennan Othman, is Brant Clark, who was a defenseman for the Barrie Colts. If I look at it, I say, you know, that's my favorite player to watch of this draft class. Do you have one? Do you have a player that you look at and you go, yeah, I just love watching this guy play?
I think Kent Johnson would be that guy for me. He's just so dynamic offensively. He has so much confidence with the puck. He's not afraid to make any play, be it through the pass, the lacrosse style goal, whatever the case may be. And he's not afraid to attack defenders. He can draw wide. He can cut to the middle of the ice. You know, Stu, I heard you talking a little bit about Galchenyuk before, you know, going to the middle of the ice, not being afraid to go to the back end, that sort of thing. Well, Kent Johnson has all of that in his game right now. Are they translatable skills? Yeah, I mean, yeah, you'd project him to be here in a couple of years. But just because of how dynamic he is offensively, that when he gets the puck, there's so much uncertainty about what he's going to do with it. And that, for me, that kind of suspense really draws you out of your seat.
Okay, last question here. The Ontario Hockey League not playing. I've had a weird, I don't know, month, maybe 2 months, trying to figure out what's happening between the Ontario Hockey League and the province of Ontario. And at times, it seemed as if they were close to having agreements. I've been told as most recently as last week that there was some type of arrangement between the two, and just waiting for the right time for an announcement and try to get in 24 games over 2 months, and playoffs are a question mark, and, you know, five-team bubbles, et cetera. We've all kinds of rumors. And here we are in the provinces in lockdown, and I don't know politically how either side could even mention publicly the idea of a return, let alone a provincially subsidized return to play. What do you hear, what do you know about the OHL right now?
Well, and this is it, Jeff, but here's the thing. When you look at Alberta, when you look at Saskatchewan, when you look at Quebec, all of those teams have had substantial government funding. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to afford to do what they're doing. And so Ontario was in a situation where they did get some help when it comes to the scholarship program. I think that was a good look. And I think under that guise, it looked to be appropriate. But the fact of the matter is, these teams can't – I don't think they can afford to play in any sort of bubble situation, which would be the only thing acceptable right now, without further government support. And that one's a tough one, especially now how things have progressed with this third wave. I think if they were able to get started a lot earlier and they had settled into their bubbles and maybe played in fits and starts like the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, we might have been talking about, you know, 15, 20 games already in the books. And now that seems, as each day passes, like it's not likely to happen. And it's pretty tough to go to the province to say, hey, support 20 or 17 Ontario-based Ontario Hockey League teams when, you know, people are fighting for their lives and our ICUs are overcrowded and so on and so forth. So I'm afraid that the Ontario Hockey League may have missed its window And so it's going to be really challenging here moving forward for sure.
Yeah, I was told the price tag for the OHL to pull it off would be a $1 million subsidy per team of all the Ontario-based teams, not the U.S.-based teams, to make this thing happen. I don't think, doesn't feel to me like that's going to happen. We shall see. Sam, always amazing information. Thanks so much for stopping by. Sam's list, by the way, have a look at it. Start to get to know these names. You're going to see them in the NHL sooner than later. And specifically, all the names of the Michigan Wolverines players from Owen Power all the way down. And Luke Quinn is another one who, as Sam mentions, is a commit. Have a look at this list at sportsnet.ca. Sam, always full value. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.